may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nation upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Amen.
Let's pray together. Before we do that, just say a huge thank you for your welcome here today. It means a lot to me to worship in many languages and to listen to the way in which, as a church, you're welcoming so many people from different parts of the world. Thank you for your fellowship and thank you for your partnership. It's been good to know Alan over the last few years and to partner over the last few years. So thank you for your partnership in the gospel. Let's pray. Father God, these ancient words of this song that was sung by Israel are living and active. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the presence of your spirit. Please work in our lives what is pleasing to you as a church and as individuals. Please feed us for faith that gets to work in your mission. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm married to Gwyn, and in our early years of marriage, we had the privilege of serving in Kampala, Uganda. One of the things that we did there was to teach, and we had lots of books. So we had a carpenter called Dowda come, and he ended up bringing some bookcases. He saw the Bibles that were going on the shelf, and he said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure, whatever question, I don't mind, whatever you want to ask." He said, "Why do you believe in three gods?" It's a really good question if you're coming from a Muslim background. Because, of course, we hear Father, Son, and Spirit as three, not one. And so we turned up John's Gospel, we saw where Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." He said, "Oh, good, I'm so glad to hear that." He went away, came back. He said, "I've got another question for you." He's a clear thinking person. He said, "Why do you believe God died on the cross?" Again, that's a really good question, isn't it? He's doing the maths. Okay, if Jesus is not one God among three, he's the one God revealing himself to us. Why do you believe that God died on a cross? And it was one of those questions where we took some time to talk it over. It was a great question. Because when God took to himself our humanity, was born into the world of the man Jesus, Dowda was working out, what does it mean when that man Jesus died? Did God die? It's wonderful to see how he came to understand, as Jesus taught, that he was dying as a man in our place, God with us. That God didn't stop existing, but in history worked for our forgiveness as a man. He came back a few days later with John. He said, "Can you tell John what you told me? Because we both want to become Christians." I hadn't even been praying for this guy. I've been so negligent. Well, I've been getting on with a different job. I haven't been thinking about him as a carpenter. He came in. He wanted to share more. He brought his friend. We ended up reading through Mark's gospel and simply reading where Jesus said, "If you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross," a way of self-denial. "And you need to follow me on the way that I have trod." And there and then, on our knees, we prayed, giving our lives to Christ. Dowda came back later, and he said, "I want you to come to my village." I said, "How far is it?" He said, "Oh, it's not far." So 6-7 hours later, chickens around my ankles, sweating like a pig. I was there, welcomed into his homestead with he'd gathered his whole family. It was one of those moments where I thought, who am I? I'm just an ordinary guy from Britain who happens to be in Uganda, welcomed by this man into his whole family. And he said to me, in front of them all, with his Muslim father, his his mother, his grandparents, the children running around. Can you please tell them what you told me? Because they've never heard. They've never heard. I wonder if you've had the privilege of sharing the news of Jesus with people who have never heard before. It's a unique privilege which in the people you're sending overseas with Maureen and others, there are many people who, through your sending and supporting, people are hearing of Christ in their lifetime. Some of us would have come from countries where it's a hard thing to hold on to the teaching of Jesus. And some of us here will have family and friends where we know it is a costly thing to follow Christ. But when you've tasted the goodness of God, and you've tasted how wonderful his love is in Jesus, it is only natural to want more people in this world to know of that love. Psalm 67 is one of the 150 song collection of ancient Israel. It's set to stringed instruments, it says in our Bibles. We don't know quite what the tune would have been, but it was on the song playlist of Israel. If they had Spotify in those days, I'm sure there'd be 150. And this is Song 67. You can just imagine Jesus going around with his playlist as a young boy, listening to this song, singing along to it from childhood into adulthood. And as you read this song, as you've heard it read, it's a heart cry. It's a cry of the heart to say, Lord, may more communities, more peoples come to know your rescue and your love. May more people know what I've come to know in the person of Jesus. But data shows us around the world, I won't go into how you measure this, that over 3 billion people will likely go through their lives without ever hearing the message of Jesus. The more people will be born into communities this year where there is no knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this song is a song that I'm bringing to us as a word from God that I would love us to pray and to praise and to say, Lord, how would you use us as the church we are, the people that we are, the gifts you've given us, from whatever background, whatever stage of life, how would you continue to use us to see more people hearing the gospel in their lifetime? And my encouragement to you this morning is, as we go through this psalm, make it the prayer of our hearts and see what the Lord will do through you and through us as a global church. So our theme this morning is global desire. There's many global issues and problems facing the world that will dwarf any government, whether that's the people movement that comes because of war, whether that's persecution, whether that's the issues our government are trying to deal with in this country. There are many people lacking hope. Many people need hope in Jesus Christ. What does God want us to pray for the nations with global desire? This psalm gives us what to pray. As you look at verse 1, you may see that it says that God, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. It's not me. It's not an individual prayer, is it? It's a community prayer. When you read the New Testament, when Paul and others talk about the church, they talk about the local church, as in here I hope, they talk about the regional church, the church across the continent, the church across the globe. And as we sit here, we have Christians and people we may know across the world. This can be a prayer that we pray for them and for us together. May God be gracious to us. May he bless us. May he make his face to shine upon us. In other words, we long to know his gaze on us, the warmth of his smile. That when he looks at us, that he delights in us and he delights to use us in his work. Those of us who know the Old Testament will know that this psalm echoes the prayer of Aaron that Moses told Aaron to pray back in Numbers chapter 6. There you have the priest bringing this prayer to the people for God's protection, his presence. But the difference here in Psalm 67 is that God gives these words to his faithful people to pray for themselves, for all people, for all generations. We can pray this for ourselves. And like when I was a boy, I used to chuck stones in ponds and just watch the ripples of the water ripple out. And a bit like that with this psalm, this psalm is dropped into the Israel, but it ripples out to us because we can pray this prayer through Jesus Christ. I shared this passage with my colleague this week who I was working with, and he just said, well, I only really ever pray when I'm in trouble. I wonder, what's your prayer habit? What's your prayer habit as individuals, as families, as churches? How do we pray in good times and in bad times? One of the big lessons I've learned from my colleagues internationally is how we are utterly dependent on God for all of our lives. Serving in Uganda was one of those moments where I came from a tertiary education. I had an education in this country. I had lots of privilege. But when I came amongst many people who welcomed me and I was one with them and I was led as part of a Ugandan team, I learnt what it meant to depend on God in ways I never had before. When you really realise that you are utterly at God's mercy for what we have, and no amount of education, no amount of money will change that, it changes you. It leaves you on your knees. And it makes you realise that psalms like this give us the words to pray to God as his people, as we depend on him. So, Lord, make your church be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth with a knowledge of you. First thing I just want us to see in this psalm is that we need to ask God to bless his whole church so that the whole earth know his ways. This isn't a self-centered prayer. It's a self-giving prayer. Do you see that in verse 2 and in verse 7? In verse 2 it says, verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us. May his face shine upon us so that your way, your ways of salvation, the way you operate, the way you work in this world, may be known, understood, and believed in the earth, and that your saving power is understood among the nations. This is a prayer for God to let the nations know where his saving power is found. And for us, centuries on, we've been singing all about it. How in weakness, Jesus gives his life as a powerful act of rescue through the cross. Lord, may you make your face shine upon this church so that we may make your ways in Jesus known on the earth, your saving power among the nations. The emphasis here, though, is on the whole earth. In verse 7 it says, God bless us, let all the ends of the earth fear him. The emphasis is on the whole land, all its inhabitants. Every piece of inhabited ground, we want them to know that God and his saving ways. This is who God is. He gives this rescue to anyone who will trust in him. I don't have to tell you that you don't have to go overseas to find people who have never heard of Christ. When I came back from serving in Uganda to serve in church planting in London, I used to do that really awkward thing of standing on the high street and with a clipboard, something I'd never do naturally. It's not my character to do this, just with a clipboard with four questions so that people coming off the train could be asked some questions about what they believed about God. And it was just really, really interesting time to do, because what we did was, I said, I don't mind what you tell me about God. I don't really care. Just tell me what you think. And we began a conversation. There's one lady, a Catholic lady, who I just said, I hope you don't mind me saying, but many of my Catholic friends struggle with guilt, struggle with the whole idea of forgiveness. She said, yes, that's absolutely true. And I said, well, that's funny, because when Jesus died, the Bible says he took all our guilt in our place. And Tears were coming down her cheeks. It was one of those, I wasn't quite sure what to do with myself because we were on the high street. And I made this woman cry. But she was weeping with joy because she'd come to know for the first time that the guilt she was feeling for her wrongs was taken by another, taken by Jesus. Who do you know who doesn't know Christ? Over 95% of children and young people in the UK are not linked to a church family. Data tells us that 70% of people in Europe between 18 to 25 affiliate with no religion. And yet we see an emerging generation of people looking for answers, don't we? One of our workers in London called Mary came from Ethiopia to teach language classes in lockdown. And she began her language classes online. She went from Addis Ababa to Islington in London and began an online seminar because she couldn't do anything else because she was in lockdown. So she did an online language class. People from Costa Rica, from Canada, from the UK, they all joined to learn English through Scripture. And as she did this class, she was learning how to do it. But this man from Costa Rica, he ended up coming to Christ. You just wonder, what is God doing? Moving Mary from Addis to Islington to do an online language course, and a man in Costa Rica ends up learning about Christ and coming to Christ in South America. This is the world we're in. Geography is not a boundary, is it? Relationships, language can be overcome. The centre of gravity in mission has changed. It's no longer from the west to the rest. It's actually from everywhere to everywhere. And that calls on us to have renewed prayer as churches, as small groups, as the people we are. May God shine his face on us so that through us his ways may be known in all the earth. And as the people we are and the gifts we've got, how could God use us? What capacities has God given you? My children always amaze me. My son's into Mr. Beast, if that makes anything online. There's a YouTube channels of some guys that basically have lots of fun, making lots of money, going away for weekends. And my son, I've got two sons, 14, 16. They said, "Dad, why don't we start a YouTube channel with Scripture?" And I'm thinking, I'm a complete dinosaur, clearly. But they said, "No, we should do this, Dad. We should do this. Because we want this to go to more people." And I was learning from them. Because I realized that they are my teachers when it comes to the digital generation. They're the ones I need to learn from, to learn with, to learn alongside. Because they're the ones who will be the ones to take this word, to be the answer to this prayer in our generation. May his face shine upon Harper, this community, so that everyone in this community and beyond knows God's ways and knows God's saving salvation. But secondly, we can ask God to bless us so that the peoples don't just know about him, but they praise him. There's a response this psalm longs for. That line resounds in verses 3 and verse 5. It's like a chant that goes around a football pitch. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And do you see it gets repeated again in verse 5? Exactly the same. Let the peoples praise you. That's singing adoration and worship, declaring who you are and what you've done, how good you are and your character. Let all the peoples of this world praise you. When our hearts sing this, there's something that happens in us where we say, Lord, use us so that more people hear of Christ. Use me, use us as a church. One Ukrainian pastor friend I was sitting with had been leading a church plant just on the edge of the border with Russia before the missiles started coming across. And he told me that the churches that they'd gathered, they'd had one. He was the senior leader of the main church. There have been other church plants that have been gathering around. They'd even been sending missionaries to Bangladesh from Ukraine funding them out of 90% of their church's giving. They gave it all to these missionaries to go to Bangladesh to share the gospel. It's amazing. But he said when the missiles started coming, the church was scattered. And he was in that moment of despondency. He couldn't contact the church because many of the telecom had gone down. People's lives were changed because of all that was happening with homes being destroyed and people were fleeing. But he said to me, through that moment of despondency, he just cast his mind on God and prayed. He prayed for God to use him, to use them, and to have mercy. And through that, he's now preparing with the churches that he's got to know here in England and Scotland and Wales. There's a network. He's preparing to go back and to renew the church there. We sometimes wonder, in times of crisis, how is God at work? But he's always at work through his church, sowing his word where they can. In times of crisis, it's easy to be despondent. But he taught me how much it is to depend on God, even in times of great strife and crisis. And when God's grace comes to us, he intends his love to extend to many more people. One of the SIM teams in South Sudan had Ethiopians not just going to North Africa, but going across to Sudan at a time when the Blue Nile territory of the border with the South Sudan and Sudan was very, very is in civil war. But these Ethiopians were doing things that I never could. They would join the team and they would cycle 25 kilometres to the refugee camp to work amongst people from Muslim background who had been trained by bin Laden 7 years before when he was in Khartoum. And I was just privileged to meet these people who would cycle this distance just to brew coffee and to share the stories of Jesus. And they saw churches growing up amongst the tarpaulins of the refugee camps. And I'm sure we know stories like this, that where the word is shared, God is at work in all situations. But what leads people to sacrifice, to sacrificially do that? That's a lot of work. Or what leads a couple to leave their life behind and even the comforts of Scotland to set up life in maybe a Latin American city or town where there is very little access to the gospel? Or what brings a church to put the gospel needs of others before our own personal desires? It's sacrificial, isn't it? Part of the need of modern mission in the 21st century is churches modelling the things they ask their missionaries to do, congregations making disciples at home as we are overseas, multinational communities who understand the complexities of crossing cultures, churches that are about the same work of sharing the good news where we are, training our own to be then sent out. We need fellowships that are generous too, willing to share their financial resources, even their best leaders when the call comes. And when I look around here, I see Harper doing all those things. And I want to encourage you. You're part of a church that is investing in the mission that God is at work in the world. What a privilege to be a part of a church like this. I want to encourage you to make the most of it. Make the most of the discipleship. Make the most of the training. Make the most of the opportunity to reach out here in the locality. Many people needing Christ. Make the most of learning what it means to deal with the headaches of different languages and different outlooks and different perspectives, because this is the training ground of the mission of the church now and into the future. Do you believe that? Because if you do, you'll persevere. I'm sure singing music like that is not easy. It's a lot of work. And for those who have been here for a long time, it will take a lot of getting used to. But what a wonderful thing to praise God in our languages all around the world. Finally, let's pray for and ask for God's grace so that nations rejoice in the rule of God. This psalm operates in that it has layers. You have the outer layers of verse 2 and verse 7. May all the people, we want the peoples to praise you. may God be gracious to us and bless us. Then you'll layer in, it's like a sandwich, verse 3 and verse 5, let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. And now we just get to the heart as I finish. The heart of the psalm. And it's this. If we truly sing this song, then we'll want the nations to not just to know of God, not just to sing his praises, but to rejoice and be glad in him. Verse 4, let the nations be glad. That's exuberant, rejoicing. Let them sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity. That's another word for justice. And you guide. You sovereignly oversee. You lead. That's what guidance means there. The nations upon the earth. God is in charge. He is in charge, drawing people from all nations into his kingdom. He is God. One of the ways in which SIM operates around the world is through what's called faithful witness teams. And these teams go to places where there really is no church. So if you're in northern Thailand, the heart of where ancient Buddhism came to be in Ayutthaya, there's a team there working to begin the work over which will be many years, sharing and their lives, building in ways in which communities can be helped, and sharing and sowing, as Maureen said, the message of the word. That happens in Mali, happens in lots of different places around the world. There's one such team in the Kainz region of Mali, and a Nigerian couple have joined that team alongside with people from many different nationalities. As they joined in the villages, here's what they said. We must confess that it wasn't easy to decide to move into these places. But knowing that there are people dying without the opportunity of hearing about the salvation of Jesus Christ, that is enough for us, they said. That is enough. But listen to this. They said this. What good is a room with 100 lamps when there is another room in complete darkness? Now that's conviction, isn't it? We have the light of God's word, the seeds that bring eternal life. What good is a room full of lamps? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. What good is having a room full of lights when in another place then there's no one? And for some of us here, as we think about our lives, we think about how we are going to be following Christ, I want to encourage you, God could use you to be a light in a place with others where there are no lamps. How many lamps, how many Christians, how many people in this room? I'm not saying everyone's a Christian, but how many people here? 200, maybe? 250? 150? However, let's say 150 lights. Let's say we all got out our phone, like a concert, and just, you know, put our phones up. Imagine leaving here. Imagine being sent from here to be useful in a team, a short-term team in Moldova or Zambia or these other places. Make the most of those short-term opportunities. But think of yourself as a light. You have the light of Christ. We have the light of Christ. What good is having a room full of lights when there are places in this world in deep darkness? As the people we are, the gifts we've got, how can we make the most of our light for the glory of God? I just want to finish by asking you the question, who told you? Who told you the message that we rejoice in here as we sing this psalm, as we read it, as we pray this psalm? You are glad along with the nations. Who told you? Maybe it was in a school where you heard the message from a Christian teacher or in a part of a youth group. Maybe it's a youth group in the church. Maybe it was someone at work. Maybe it was even your spouse or another member of the family. But imagine a place in the world where there is no school where you can hear the gospel, no church where you can come to hear the word sown. Imagine a place where there's no workplace where there are Christians and where you can go through your life without ever being a friend with anyone who knows Jesus. Two in five people are in that place. I just want to encourage you as you sing this psalm, as you worship God, as you pray this psalm as a church, ask the question, Lord, use us. You've given us the light. Use us to bring it to more people. Shall we pray? Father, in the moments of quiet, we pray that you would be gracious to this church, to the churches of Glasgow, to the churches of Scotland, to the churches of Great Britain, to the churches of Europe, to the churches of North Africa, the Middle East, the churches across the world. May you be gracious to your church and make your face shine on us. We want your ways to be known across the earth, Father. We want more praise to go to you because of the knowledge of you that goes throughout this world. And people respond in praise and rejoice that they know you now. They know the hope they could have beyond death. Let the nations be glad because of the decisions we make in worship of you as a church. Make the nations glad through hearing of Christ who would otherwise never hear. And use us, weak and frail as we are, use us as we depend on you in great ways. May we take our light to where there is great darkness. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, thank you to Steve for leading us in God's word this morning. There's a challenge here, isn't there? Walter's brought a challenge. Steve's brought a challenge. You know, maybe think about whether you want to respond to that challenge this morning. Walter gave an email address, office@harperchurch.org.uk, and you could be heading off to another part of the world next summer to be that light. Or perhaps some of you are feeling the stirring of the Holy Spirit pointing you to a lifelong service, either here in the UK or in some other part of the world. Take the opportunity to speak to Steve and myself